Are we ever going to get rain?
Yes.
I hope. Will my kid ever get potty trained? I hope. Will we ever get an HEB or a Walmart? Some people, I hope. Some people, no, it'll shut down everything around here. Hope is a funny thing. It means different things to different people. I went to Indiana not too long ago, and I met two of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. One of them was named Yutana, different name, and her son was named Ramel. And Ramel has Down syndrome. And Ramel was given no chance to live. He was born with his stomach outside of his body, a crack baby. And nobody wanted Ramel, little black boy, in New York City. And at 5 years old, Yutana and her then husband, who's passed away, adopted him. And they all asked, why? Why would you adopt him? He has no hope. The Ramel I met's 21. 21, he used to be able to see, and now he can't see. But I sat across from him at a table, and I saw as he felt his way through the forks and the spoons. And let me tell you something, it didn't stop that boy from eating. He shoveled it in, and I mean, it was amazing to watch them interact with one another, and there was not an ounce of regret. The way that she talked about him, the way that they told stories, she tells us a story that she was in a hurry going into Walmart. And she was dragging Ramel with him, and all of a sudden she heard this, ooh! And she turned around and she had walked him into one of those yellow poles as you're going in. She said, I looked around and the first thing I said was, I hope no one saw that. She said, my first hope should have been, is he okay? Mama, you run me into a pole. And to hear that story, it's just amazing to see where he's come from. And the no hope. I think we actually have a couple of pictures of him. There's Ramel, 20 years old, and his duds, man. I mean, he and just lately. He looks handsome, I know, and he believes he is too. I mean, he'll tell you. But he just had an eye surgery. And they're hoping that they can get a little bit of hope left to get him just to see and a little bit more. And then we've got the next picture. He's got his Minion cup and he just had eye surgery. He says, I just want to see my feet again and pretty girls. That's his hope. And that's Ramel. And he's on our prayer list now. You guys be praying for him. Because it takes special people to take him in and to watch them interact. It was amazing, and I just thought, I really don't know what kind of problems I have. And then if I do, I can call Yutana, and she's going to say, shut up. If you want to know what kind of problems there are, talk to me and talk about my day of going through. She just married a wonderful man named Troy who took him in and is just there happy as can be. I was honored to be up there and amongst them. But I was thinking, while they're hoping, or while anyone is hoping for that matter, what is happening in the between times? I prayed for rain yesterday. It didn't happen. And in the between time, I sweated. And I melted. I'm white. As all get it. I'm like, please, God, help me. I'm not going to make this. And so we're sitting there. What happens between the hoping and the answer? And what happens if the answer is not what you wanted? Are we able to accept that? And so what happens in between? 1 John 2:28. I want us to go there for a second. It says, and now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. As we hope and as we wait, there's three words in there that says, continue in him. Continue in him as we wait for rain. Continue in him as you're waiting for your child to finally use the potty. Continue in Him when you're hoping for a loved one to be saved. Continue in Him when you're waiting biopsy results. That's easier said than done. As you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're wondering, what is happening here? Continue in Him. And then in 1 John 3:3, just a few verses later, he says, everyone who has this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies themselves. There's this purification process that is supposed to be happening, if you will, while we're waiting and while we're hoping. I don't like those verses. Because I'm looking at that, I'm going, purify. What does that even mean? You know what it means? To make morally clean. Nobody wants to hear that. Because then it's like I got to point at myself and go, what is going on in me? What do you want to cleanse out of me? But I promise you, I would much rather purify myself than to let God do it. I was thinking about my kids. If they would have purified themselves to where I didn't have to, they would have had better lives. They did not want Dad to come in and have to deal with the things that they don't want to deal with themselves. I still deal with it as an adult. And God's going, if you would have purified yourself, you may not be going through this. I was like, well, what do you know? And I say, sorry. And so purify, it's way better if God does not have to do it and we can do it ourselves. But there's certain things that God has to get out of us. And so as we continue in Him and purify ourselves, we are awaiting His return, it says. We are awaiting heaven. So I ask you this question. What difference does our hope of heaven make in our lives today? What difference does it make? With the world that's out there, the chaos that we're seeing around going around our world right now, what difference does the hope of heaven make in our lives today? Because if it doesn't, then we're the most miserable people on the planet. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed, if you read your Bible, it is backwards world. Turn the other cheek. No. I'm going to hit first. That's what I've been taught. If you want to save your life, you got to lose it. No. I don't want to do that. And so he comes in 1 Corinthians 15:19. He says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all people. If this is the only thing that life gives us, this is stupid. This is terrible. And I don't want to be a part of it. Can you imagine someone that's got a terrible life and then you tell them, hey, listen, don't worry, you get to live forever. Like this? No! There's a hope of heaven, which means living with Christ and where there's no more sorrow, there's no more tears, there's no more anything that goes wrong. It's going to be wonderful. So what does your hope of heaven, how does that change your life today? If it doesn't, you might need to look a little bit deeper. Let me give you an example of Johnny Erickson Tada. I know some people say it's Joni, but it's not. I looked it up. Named after her dad, Johnny Erickson Tada. Well, on July 30th, 1967, she dove into the Chesapeake Bay and she misjudged the shallowness of the water. And she fractured her spine between the fourth and fifth vertebrae, leaving her paralyzed from the shoulders down. You may have heard of her. Some people have not. What kind of life is that? You're a healthy person, you jump into the water, hit your head and fracture, and your life is over as you know it. 2 years of rehab it took just to get her to some semblance of normalcy. And as I was listening to one of her podcasts and reading some stuff about her, so two years of rehab, she battled anger, which you could imagine, depression, suicidal thoughts, and religious doubts. Who wouldn't? Can you imagine going to the hospital and meeting her, laying there, and trying to tell her about hope? Can you imagine that? She's laying there. She cannot move. She's suicidal. She's depressed. She's not sure if she wants to live. She thinks God is a joke. And you're going, there's hope in Jesus. Well, then pray for me and let me be healed. Well, as she battles this and she suffers for years and years and years, something happened in her. I want to tell you some of the comments and the thoughts that she wrote, that she put down, that have moved me deeply. One of the comments that she made is, life is supposed to be difficult in order to drive us to God. Coming from somebody that's healthy, so what? Coming from someone that's laying there, paralyzed from the shoulders down, that means something. She also said, we're all crippled by something, and only God can heal you. And we keep running to person after person after person, thinking we could find what only God can give. I've done it. And only God can bring you out of the depths and bring things out of there and heal you and cleanse you and purify you. Only God. I'm not saying that some people can't help. We're supposed to have help from people. But too many times we are dependent on people instead of being dependent on God. And here's this woman laying there paralyzed, and she's saying these things. And then one comment I thought was pretty hilarious. Nobody gets out of life alive. Not in this world, she says. I was like, true statement. And then she said this, the hope of heaven makes all the difference in how I live today, because I know I will get my new body. How many people think that she probably asked for prayer to heal her? Oh, my Lord. How many people went into that hospital room thinking they were going to pray a miracle for her? And how many times did she finally get to that point where she just rolls her eyes? Be quiet already. How many times do people have to pray for me in this? And nothing happens. And finally, not because of some person, but because God met her there, she came to terms with it. And she's been ministering to people ever since. She ministers to people in ways that nobody else could possibly do. And one of her verses was Romans 8:24 that says, hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? And so she hopes. And she sits there and it gets her through the day. It gets her through the month. It gets her through the years. And let me tell you some of the things that she's accomplished. She learned to paint with her mouth during occupational therapy. There's some incredible paintings. I can't paint with both hands. And she's doing it with her mouth, doing all these paintings. She has written over 40 books using voice recognition software. 40! She's actually recorded several music albums. It's amazing. What excuses do we have when you read that? And then she actually starred in a movie about her own life. That's pretty amazing. But you know what? She did a lot of suffering. But she found hope in her suffering. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to. And we are taught from a very young age to do everything that you can to not suffer. Do everything that you can so that your kids don't suffer. And if they don't suffer, they don't learn. They just don't. One of the hardest things as a parent that I've done is let my kids suffer and do without. And I cried and I cried and I cried. And I watched as God did amazing things in my kids through their suffering. I want the glory. I want the glory without the suffering. I asked God for that once. I didn't get the answer I thought. I know that God is close to the brokenhearted, but I want him to be close to the brokenhearted without being brokenhearted. God, I know you're close to the brokenhearted. And he goes, yeah, you're brokenhearted now, aren't you? And I'm like, where are you? Where are you, God, in the midst of all of this? Where are you? And so there's this suffering that happens. And then Romans 5:2-5, don't listen to this if you're faint of heart, because it's rough. He says, And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's the beautiful part. And then it keeps going, though. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Did you notice that it all started with suffering? Isn't that sad? It starts with suffering, and that says the suffering produces perseverance, which is a really, it's a way to mask patience, if you will. It's easier to say perseverance than patience because everybody knows not to pray for patience, right? And so he comes in there, he says, I'll use a different word and sneak it in on you. So that suffering is going to produce this perseverance or patience. And then that patience is going to produce character. And then only after you've gone all through those things do you get to hope. Oh, that's terrible news. That's terrible. I thought this was about good news, James. Hope is the last one. And to this I say, no thanks. I mean, seriously. The suffering to get to perseverance, the perseverance to get to character, and the character to get to hope. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I can. Is this how Jesus did it? Is that what Jesus did? Is there ever anything that Jesus asked us to go through that he didn't do himself first? Hebrews 5:8 says something real weird. Son though he was, Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. Jesus, the perfect person, learned obedience by what he suffered. And we think we'll be exempt. Oopsie. I'm telling you, reading your Bible is dangerous. It is dangerous. You'll read things that you're not prepared for. And as I'm studying on this hope, I get into Romans 15:13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot in there, quite honestly. And I'm reading that. I'm going, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And I was like, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I want the joy. I want the peace. And then he says, but there's a caveat. There's a condition, if you will. The next five words are terrible. As you trust in him. I want the joy and peace without that part. And I'm going, God, I have no joy. I have no peace. Why? It's because you don't trust me. If you trusted me, you'll have the joy and you'll have the peace. That's a hard thing to come to grips to. But I'm learning to use it and go, when I don't have my joy and I don't have my peace, I can go back to that. And I know that the issue is trust. Do I trust him with my circumstances? Too often the answer is no. But when I do, I end up having that joy and I have that peace. And sometimes it's for a fleeting moment. And then I'm back in it and I don't have it again. And he says, come back to me. You might have to do it and keep giving it to me and keep giving it to me and keep giving it to me and keep giving it to me. It is truly a trust issue. We've believed a lie that when people go through struggles in life, that somehow knowing God makes it easier. It never does. There's never a time that God promised that. But he did promise us hope. He did promise that he'll go through it with us. And I was trying to picture Jesus he didn't believe that lie. And I'm picturing Jesus on a cross. And he screams out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why? And he's hanging on a cross, dying. And he's going, why? Why? What got Jesus through that? It was the hope of heaven. It was the hope of heaven that got him through that. I promise you, if you put your hope in him, you can get in through anything this world has to offer. Anything this world has to offer. I read this story about a man dying, and he was on his deathbed, and he was done. He said, stop praying. I'm ready to go home. And as he's dying on his deathbed, he's in pain and suffering, but he continued to have this joy and hope that went beyond his circumstances. And as people came into the room, they knew that he was in pain. They knew that he was suffering. And every time they left, they're the ones that left with his joy and with his hope. And finally, somebody asked him, what is the basis of your joy and your hope? You are struggling. You are suffering. You're in pain. What is the basis of your joy and hope? And he said, it's my last chance to praise God while I suffer. I'll be honest with you, I'm not there. I'm not there. It's my last chance to praise God while I suffer because soon I will never suffer again. Look deep into your soul. And if what you find is sin and pain, then you haven't looked deep enough. It's hard to get past the sin and the pain sometimes. But if you look deeper, you'll find something greater. You'll find hope. You'll find hope that gets you through anything that this world has to offer. And because the last chapter has been written, we can face today's chapter with hope. We need each other more than I ever thought. We need each other desperately. And this world needs to see a group of people that they call Christians. First of all, loving one another. And they're watching. And they're waiting. And they're wondering, where do I put my hope? We see all these riots and we see all the hell that's going on outside of these walls. And what these people are doing is they're searching. And what will they run into when they run into us? What will they run into? A lot more condemnation, a lot more judgment. That's what they expect from us. But what happens if we offer them hope? The hope in Christ that gets us through any and everything that this world could ever have to offer. I'm going to bring the band up as I close this out. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say that you might be saved. It doesn't say that you can be saved. It says that you will be saved. You wouldn't believe how many people who call themselves Christians don't know that. They don't know the process. How do I get saved? I don't know. I went to church. And we don't know how to tell people about the hope in Jesus. My hope is that this comes up every Sunday from here on out. And if you're out there and you need somebody, instead of sending them to the pastor or an elder or somebody else, you said, Romans 10:9 will tell you how you can be saved. If you confess with your mouth, I got to do a baptism recently, and it was the most special baptism I think I've ever done. A husband and a wife. It was beautiful. And before they got into the baptism, they declared, Jesus is my Lord. As they got baptized, their identity changed. As they came out, they're never the same. That's what baptism does. That's the hope that we have. That beyond this life, there's something beautiful. There's something amazing. And there's power in it. There is power in this. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. please don't leave this place without having done that. Without having done that and make him your Lord. With our last song, we're going to do In the Garden again. And you're more than welcome to come up here, pray at the kneelers. And afterwards, there's going to be some of us up here. And I'm going to be one of them among the people up here. They'll pray with you. We'll cry with you. We'll do whatever you need with us to do with you. But we'll be here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for getting us through each and every circumstance that you call us to go through. Lord, I pray that you be with those who are just hurting so deeply today. And they just can't find the hope. And they get stuck at the sin. And they get stuck at the pain. That you would help them to push through. And to remind them that you have never and you never will abandon them. But you'll be with them every step of the way. And Lord, as we await heaven, I pray that you'd help us to remember that you've called us to purify ourselves, to make ourselves morally clean by relying on you, not on our own efforts, but relying on what you've already done for us. So we give you praise and we give you glory for who you are. And I pray that you continue to help us to remember that we are on the same team here. That's Team Jesus. And if Jesus isn't the answer, then you don't have the answer. So Lord, thank you for healing broken hearts, for being close to us when we're hurting the most, and using suffering to produce perseverance, character, and hope. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand for our last song?